B-Pod Studios.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Craig Carton was someone that we were fairly low acquaintances with, but
we would see him once a year at the Super Bowl and say hello and talk briefly. And I know that they made a video together for us for the 10th anniversary thing. And Boomer Esiason was his partner. And obviously, through Boomer, you know, we kind of knew him in some ways, but there was that one morning about 2 years ago when Boomer Esiason went on the air and his partner wasn't there, and originally they thought that he was just sick. I think they called it the Yankee flu. I saw someone refer to. However, what had happened was that morning when he was walking out to go get a car to go to the station, there's a woman that walked up to him, and this is like 4 a.m. and said, "Are you Craig Carton?" He goes, "Yes," and she goes, "FBI, you're under arrest." And that's where everything started spiraling out of control. And what we learned since then is that Craig Carton had a massive, massive gambling problem. And he was millions upon millions of dollars in debt.
But what's odd about it was that these listeners, like these wealthy listeners. Okay, so how it all started, according to Carton, is that he was bragging about his prowess in blackjack. And that Boomer Esiason gave him $10,000, and Carton said he could turn it into $25,000, which he did. And then wealthy listeners started to offer him big sums of money in the hope of getting a cut of the winnings.
Which is hysterical. It's like, it's one thing to say that I'm good at sports gambling because there's some sort of knowledge that, I guess, you know, of the sports world that can help you be better. But just to say I'm better at blackjack, like, isn't blackjack one of those things that, I don't care if you're a professional. Aren't you basically even at that point? I mean, don't you have the same odds as the dealer at winning and losing blackjack?
Unless you're good at counting cards.
No, maybe you have lower results, but lower chances. And he said, if I won $3.9 million, there's no celebration. If he lost $1 million, he didn't punch a wall. You drink often heavily, bottle of vodka, tequila, or Grand Marnier. But he says the alcohol never affected his judgment.
So he talks about a little bit of this about the here. So yesterday,
does he talk about when he goes to Mabini?
Yep. So okay. So yesterday, Craig Carton, he used to work at the station, the Fan in New York, and that was the one that Mike Francesa's on. And in the morning, it was Boomer and Carton, and they did very well. They were number one. They killed it. And of course, he ended up losing his job when he got arrested. And since then, he was sentenced to, I think it's 40-something months in jail, and he'll be going fairly soon. And yesterday, he reached out to Michael Kay, who is the afternoon drive guy at the rival station across the street.
A slap in the face to Francesa.
At the very beginning of the interview, however, he said that, I don't want people to think this is like I'm doing this to hurt the people at the station I work for. Matter of fact, all of those people have been very supportive. Maybe not Mike Francesa, but he goes, you know, all like the management, but they thought me coming on their station, they didn't want to do that because there's another show that's already, you know, they've been on for what, like 19 months, and they're trying to get a footing, and they just didn't think it would be right. So Carton went over to Michael Kay's show and Arrival, and they started talking about his gambling problem.
Now, in your book in 2013, the book Loudmouth, one of the things that jumps out at me, Craig, is that you said that your biggest fear in life is going to jail.
Yeah, that's okay. So they've got into it, and they're saying that now that you're going to jail, you've said that this is your biggest fear.
Yeah, in Loudmouth, which is a book that he made that was published by CBS, he said that his biggest fear in life was going to jail, and now he is going to jail for 3.5 years. But he probably won't stay 3.5 years. But nonetheless, did you hear what the judge said to him? Is that in here?
Yep.
Okay, that's in the audio.
It might be in it, but I know
she said first time, long time.
Oh, so yeah. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a fan of the show, which I can't figure out
how she got seated as a judge for this case.
Yeah. Okay, so here you go.
Now, in your book in 2013, the book Loudmouth, one of the things that jumps out at me, Craig, is that you said that your biggest fear in life is going to jail. Are you scared about going to jail?
How could you not be? The only thing I know or knew about jail is what you see on TV and in the movies and, Shawshank and Oz and all the terrible things that happen. Now, I've become at least a website expert about what prison camp is supposed to be like. But I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't worried about it, scared of it. It's the unknown, and it's prison. There may not be, guards with rifles pointed at you when you're in the yard, but I'm in prison. My freedom's being taken away, so I'm very worried about it and scared, sure.
All right, this gambling thing is clearly out of control, and did your wife at that point and family have any inclination that you were making these trips to Atlantic City, et cetera?
Right. Well, I'll go backwards. My family knew that I liked to gamble. They had no idea the extent that I was gambling. Just to give you an example of it, there were times when my family would be sleeping. We lived in Tribeca. And I normally got up at about 3 o'clock in the morning to go to work. I like to be at the radio station by 4 a.m. And I'd be on a helicopter at midnight, landing on the roof of the Golden Nugget to go play blackjack, typically at, Borgata, Golden Nugget, Harrah's, and hope to get back to the roof of the Nugget in time to get on a helicopter and come back in time for my show. There were times when I would get in the car and drive to the Poconos to gamble at Sands in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And again, hope to be back in time.
So you have to think at that point, though, is there any part, is the addiction so strong at that point that you're just feeding it, you're not thinking this is crazy behavior?
You have, at least I speak for myself, there are moments when you go, what the heck are you doing? But the addiction's stronger than rational thought. And there's an ego involved in the addiction which says a few things. One, I'm not going to lose. And if I lose here, I'm going to go there and win. If I lose there, I'm going to go there. I had markers at every casino in the world. I had people willing to fund my blackjack trips if I didn't have markers. My family had no idea, none whatsoever. And one of the first moments for me, and I wrote this in my letter to the judge, my youngest son, who's 8 now, when he was 7, I don't know if you have kids, but when they come back from school, a lot of times in first grade, the teacher will say, all right, draw us a little story about your favorite places to go. And my 7-year-old at the time, he's 8 now, drew 3 pictures. Atlantis, Hollywood Hard Rock, and the Borgata. And at that point, that was the first time where I can tell you that I had a conscious look at myself in the mirror and said, hey, moron, what are you doing? When your 7-year-old wants to talk to you about going to casinos, it's a problem.
So he had markers at these casinos, and we'll get to more audio in just a moment, but he was gambling. I don't know if I can't tell you what he talked about here, so it doesn't matter.
That's right.
But he would play $25,000 a hand, and he would play 5 hands at the same time. And then, like Boomer was saying, they went to Vegas to cover like a
Mayweather Pacquiao.
Mayweather Pacquiao, and they're like in a G5. And he's got 5 suites.
Yeah, Carton personally flew them out on a Cessna. And that was Boomer. And he had 5 suites in 5 different Vegas hotels. And that was the first time Boomer went, oh, okay. Yeah. Something's going on.
Well, and the reason that he ended up ultimately going to jail, which is, I mean, the reason he's in trouble is because he started running this ticket selling business where he was getting these hedge fund people to give him thousands upon thousands of dollars. And he said, I'm going to get you tickets to Barbra Streisand, get tickets to Metallica. And he was taking their money and he was paying his gambling debt with it.
But it was funny because he was making $2.5 million a year and he had his hands in all these weird businesses.
He started booking people for the Nets home arena.
The Barclays Center.
Yeah, he started booking music acts for the Barclays Center and taking 51% of the profits.
Yeah, he had all these like strange businesses that he had his hands in. Which what I would contend is, if you're making $2.5 million, enjoy your $2.5 million. I don't know what.
How did this family not know? That to me, if you're leaving at midnight
because
to get
they
in a
thought
helicopter,
going to work.
Not at midnight.
Yep, because they're not up. So he would leave when they weren't awake.
God, when did he sleep?
He didn't sleep. And what's funny is that I have a friend that listened to them, and he would be on Amy Lawrence. Because he was at the station at like 4:30 in the morning because he had been up all night drinking and gambling. And by the way, like Rosenberg is in this thing And Rosenberg is talking about how effed up that Carton is. And Rosenberg is a well-renowned...
No, he's not.
Well-renowned F-up.
Drunk drug user.
He smoked crack.
I know. He's like, I know all about this, and I can recognize. Great. All right.
He's like, I didn't even smoke crack that much. All right, so we'll be back with more Carton. And if you've ever had any kind of gambling thing where you were... Where they would do things for you, like you got special treatment.
Have you ever been such a high roller where you got the jet? Like you got the jet, you got the helicopter. Have you ever been that much of a high roller?
Right, and he would have his own room. And then he said that there was a
hotel. Hardy gets his own room. I mean, like, you know, Hardy goes
but it's completely different.
But that's just bad. I mean, there's ways of getting your own room. No, I'm talking about the jet.
No, there's not a way of getting a room in a floor that no one knows exists. Carton got rooms on floors that were not.
Yeah, he insists there's this magic place in Mohegan Sun that has rooms that no one know about.
The 13th floor.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Well, I mean, Hardy, you know, probably gets like a nice, you know, king size bed. I'm talking about having a floor dedicated to you. I don't think we're going to get a lot of calls, but
what are you saying about our listeners?
No, I just...
There are a lot of high rollers that listen to us.
There's high rollers.
It's different.
There's, I'm betting, $3.5 million.
None of those people listen to us. Oh, that's too bad.
I don't think there's many... by the way, and one great thing about Craig Carton is he, before he was at WFAN, he went to Hustler and tried to be a pornographer. He met with Larry Flint's brother.
Oh, nice.
And tried to get into the porn game. Who's this Carton fella? All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're touching with Rich Craig Carton, who was not a bad guy from our experience, but he has been sentenced to 3.5 years in the old pen, as they call it. Have you heard that term?
The pen, yes. It's short for the penitentiary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You flop in there in the pen. So what he was doing is he was addicted to gambling. I mean, the amount of gambling he was doing was crazy. I mean, there'd be nights where he won $3.5 million. There'd be nights that he lost $1 million.
The New Yorker article had his total gambling, the gross sum of money that he gambled in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
I get a little nervous just walking past people in the high stakes room. Like, you'll see, like, the one guy at the table on his own, and he'll be using, like, 3 chips whose color I didn't even recognize. And you're thinking to yourself,
yeah,
all right, this dude's got, like, a ton on the line, and I get nervous for him.
Black chips make me nervous, man. Seriously.
If you want to be even more nervous, know that you would never have walked by him because he was in a room where you could not see him. He was in a room all to himself.
Oh, Craig Carton? Yeah, to make it even worse. I mean, there are casinos do have certain rooms that, like, you just can't get into. But, I mean, a lot of casinos will have a section that's cordoned off, but you can see it. That's like the high-stakes tables.
Yeah, I think that this went beyond high stakes. He was betting 5 hands at $25,000 a hand. And he would play for hours. So, I mean, you can do the math. And by the way, he really did go to Hustler and ask, and almost got into the pornography business. which was his probably biggest regret that he didn't do it.
Well, yesterday, I happened to hear this interview, and the one thing I thought was great was it took maybe 7 minutes into the interview to get to this because, unfortunately, many people in radio are extremely petty. So, once again, these shows were rivals, and Craig Carton used to make fun of the people who were on the Michael Kay show, including Michael Kay and some of the other people who were in studio with him, as well as, you know, even people on his own station. Him and Mike Francesa did not get along. They hated each other.
Yeah.
At least from everything I've heard.
But when he got arrested, he put a note under Francesa's door saying that he enjoyed the back and forth.
Mm-hmm. So, after, once again, Carton's got this crazy story.
He's going to jail for 3.5 years.
He's going to jail for 3.5 years. Yet one of the guys in the Michael Kay show, like 7 or 8 minutes into the interview, says this.
To me, the thing that I hold a resentment towards you about, if I'm being fully honest,
yeah,
is I think you did these things over time, whether they were really a long time ago or not, where I just think you often didn't care at all about people's feelings. You know, in the case of me and you going back and forth, you probably barely even remember it. This is probably so insignificant to you. But to
I
me
saw
at the time,
video you did. I remember
but
it.
Yet when you said that you met me.
I did at the softball game in Brooklyn. Right? You got hurt.
I didn't meet you that day. I was in that game. I got hurt.
I remember meeting you. It was quick.
And you said I came up and said I was a fan. I was like, I didn't grow up here. I wouldn't have listened to you.
That was my recollection of it. You're saying it didn't happen. I'm
a fan of yours. I couldn't stand you.
We are so
diametrically opposite. I think you are a brilliant radio personality. You capture people's attention, and I respect that. I'm in the business. Never was a fan of you. Never would have told you that in my life.
You're a little bit of a fan.
Not even at all. I appreciate this interview. I think you're very compelling. But once I heard you, when you hear someone say something about you that you know is not true,
yeah,
it makes it very hard to listen to anything else they have to say.
I get that.
And this went on and on. It was like, why were you mean to me?
Yeah, which is a very manly conversation.
I mean, what is it about sports talk hosts and you know what? And people upset, like fanboys of sports talk hosts that all are like super sensitive to people talking trash on other people.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my goodness. I never said I was a fan
at the softball game.
I mean, that's a guy that writes the word takes with a Z.
And by the way, like you win.
In order to be
funny.
I mean,
he's going to jail for 3.5 years.
Yeah, what are you doing? The guy's going to jail. You've got, if you truly hated the guy, there's something inside of you that's probably like, okay. Why do you have to do that at that point?
Carton's going away. He's got his last chance to settle this with him before he leaves.
You go, I won. I mean, he's in jail for 3.5 years. Nothing worse could happen.
That's a guy with a burner account that tweets people from radio. Without a doubt. That's a guy that does that.
Yeah. So I told you we wouldn't get any calls from people that
are high rollers. Because no one's a high roller like that. Like, I mean, I think that's why this story is so nuts, is that you spend that much money. If you had a friend that all of a sudden was getting, like, jets and stuff to them, you would immediately not think, wow, this guy's really awesome and he knows what he's doing. You would think, this dude's probably in trouble.
Well, Boomer was kind of an idiot to not realize what was going on. It, like, first occurred to him when they got that, like, G5 to fly them to Vegas, and then he had five of the best suites in Vegas at five hotels. Mies thinks that is not a normal thing. I mean, that you would...
Denial? Because Cart was a friend of his. Like, if you had a really good friend that you've known for a long time...
I would go, what the hell are you doing? This is ridiculous.
But this
You make $2.5 million a year, which is a great salary, but that's not... private plane, five suites at different hotels money. And they don't even do that. That's gambling. You're gambling a tremendous amount of money. I mean, like, if you're Bird and you're out of the studio for 10 minutes.
Did I miss something?
While the phone rings.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know then that's a man who's very comfortable.
Well, that's right. I mean,
Bird hath dropped thy deuce.
Maybe that's why.
I got, no lie, 5 comments about that yesterday.
About our Game of Thrones?
Oh, Game of Thrones.
Well, I mean, it was obviously a great success.
Yeah. It was something that everyone enjoyed.
But listen, I mean, if you got to type with one finger... All right, let's go to Dom, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I know you guys are eventually going to stop believing these dummy stories, but they're all true. This one you can actually confirm. I once made reservations at a casino. I won't say the casino. And when I got there, they said there was a problem with my reservation and needed to see my ID. And everything ended up being fine. The ID went through, but I had to ask them, like, what's the deal? Like, well, your name is one letter in your first name different than a guy who's invented a way to be casinos. It's called the it's my name. I don't know if you can beep out my last name. It's the Dominic Perillo theory of dualism. The guy's a mathematician, and these guys are ready to not let me go in the casino because this guy must apparently have written books about beating casinos. So it's my exact name except one letter different in my first name.
So they sat you down, and they're just like, we just want to make sure you're not that dude that's on the blacklist?
Right. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah. And the guy didn't really even know. He just said, I know the guy's a high-rolling a cheat. So I looked it up, and he invented this theory of dualism about gambling, which I don't even know anything about because I've never gambled.
Well, there you go. I mean, you could have taken his identity and gotten some five suites at five different hotels. It seems a little bit much. But what he would do is he would go hotel to hotel, and if he wasn't winning at one, he'd go to another, and if he wasn't winning there, he'd go to another. So, yeah, he never slept. And that was part of, like, his MO, is that he never slept. Like, that was part of the radio personality. And so at midnight, he'd get out and he'd take a helicopter. I mean, they would send a helicopter for him.
And who are these people just giving him money, like, sight unseen?
Boomer
to give him, like, $10,000 in order to win $25,000.
Okay, so what, according to him, what happened is Boomer gave him that money. He turned it into $25,000. Then rich people that listened to the show started giving him money to turn into different money, and then he got into all these fakakta businesses.
Well, I have a feeling that those rich people were people who didn't earn their money. Like, they're like people who, like, inherited it.
No, really? You think?
Usually those type of people wouldn't make a rash decision like that.
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't take $1 from a listener unless it was going to buy a shirt that had the gunner on it. That's the only thing I'd take money for. All right, here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
For roof.
The radio and online home of Boston sports.
You don't play quite as hard.
You're the Boston Celtics right now.
Too many guys
like that
hurt your team.
That's why the talent is down.
98.5 The Sports Hub. 98.5thesportshub.com.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
is Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're not through with yet, Rick, so...
Well, I think it's great because last year he stood up and said he was going to do that. And everyone, I'm sure he had his doubters. And you can make an argument, rightfully so, because he's been in hot water a few times. But he's kept his nose clean, true to his word. I don't think he's even been close to anything that you'd say, well, what's going on? He's going to go over the edge. He's had games where he's been upset, but that's, I mean, every player goes through that. Got right back on the rails and you know, been a real good player for us.
That's Bruce Cassidy on Brad Marchand on whether or not he cleaned up his act this season. And Bruce says, absolutely. And now you're looking at a guy that's scored 100 points.
Keeps his nose clean, which is no small task.
It is not.
You understand there, he's got a big nose.
Well, he does. He's the nose face killer, as his nickname gives him. But I was thinking about heading into the playoffs with both of these teams. When you have this is my favorite time of the year. I enjoy watching playoff basketball more than I do playoff hockey, although there's nothing like playoff hockey because playoff hockey, as we said, can physically hurt you. Like your stomach, the stress it's so painful. It's because the way just a game can turn on one bad play, one puck in the net, and especially in overtime when there's no breaks, is just like there's no commercials. It is way too intense.
Well, if you look at the Chicago series and the bad bounce off the board.
Oh, sure. I mean, two goals, bang, bang, ended it when you thought they were immediately going to be going to a game 7. Although Patrice Bergeron more than likely wouldn't have played because my man was running around with a punctured lung. I think we all learned. And that was like preceding the day that you, of course, got Jazzy Chara on the Rowdy Roosters over in one of the greatest pictures
Rooster
of all time.
Rooster of death at Canobie Lake.
At Canobie Lake Park. You've got Zdeno Chara with his knees and his chin. After that, he was just like, I just want to forget about hockey for a day and go ride the
Rooster.
Yeah, but to him.
First thing in the morning.
Good for him.
Awful.
Good for him, dude.
We come to hunt a rooster. Mm-hmm.
And then he
yes,
did.
Yes, I hunted.
But I was thinking about these two teams going into the playoffs. And as much as the Celtics have completely, like, gone under our expectations, they've been up and down and up and down. Near the end of the season, it starts to feel like they've probably figured things out. And for two reasons. One,
got your fingers crossed, but yes.
Well, I mean, ever since they put Aaron Baines in there in the starting five along with Al Horford, the defense has been drastically different. And it makes you think, and I know that Baines was hurt for a while, but I mean, he was available for a decent amount of time before they finally, Brad Stevens made the decision to do that. And now it's working. So that part of it seems to have worked. On top of that, Gordon Hayward is playing great basketball, and he's pretty damn close to what we thought we were going to be getting when he was first signed pre-injury. So those are two factors that I think that they're going to do pretty well in the postseason. The Bruins, on the other hand, have been playing great hockey for most of the last several months. I mean, look at all the personal records these guys have had. Krejci with his points. You've got Marchand, as we just mentioned, with 100 points. That first line is just utterly ridiculous. And so you look at both teams, and in the first round, the expectation is that they're going to be able to move on. I think everyone looks at that Toronto Maple Leaf series, Fred. I don't know how many games you believe, but I know that you obviously think the Bruins are going to move ahead.
If it's over six games, it's a disappointment.
Right. So you think maybe six games are going to move on.
I remember, it took them seven last year.
And they're a better team this year.
Yes.
Also, you take a look at the Celtics, and you see what they've done with the Pacers. And that game this past Friday night just said it all. They really wanted to win that game. They wanted to make a statement. They did. And without Oladipo, just unfortunately, they don't have enough scoring. So I'm looking at that series, and I'm thinking it's probably going to be a 5-6 game series. They're moving on to round two. Now, that's where things get interesting, because you've got one team in the Celtics that had ultra-high expectations at the beginning of the season, and the Bruins that overachieved a little bit. I think they've outdone most people's. However, round two is going to be sticky for both. Who do you have more faith in moving forward? The Bruins against the Lightning, which more than likely it will be, or the Celtics against Milwaukee,
Celtics.
Which more likely it's going to be?
Celtics.
Well, I think Tampa loses to Columbus.
Okay.
You think the Blue Jackets, it's going to be Tortorella fever?
Yeah, okay. I think it's Tortorella
fever. We all have Tortorella fever. Not just the Jackets.
Torts is going to crack the code, and he's going to be the one that figures out the Lightning, good Lightning this year.
Sure. He'll disparage some teams and have some fun.
Right. You see, I have a feeling if I think that
it's more of a possibility that the Celtics beat Milwaukee than the Bruins beat Tampa.
See, I think that it's more likely that the Celtics move on, but I also think that it's more likely that the Bruins win a championship than the Celtics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, because after Milwaukee, Toronto is sitting there, and Toronto is exactly what the Celtics hoped they would be.
How about the Warriors? How about the West? I mean,
no, I'm just saying the roadblocks are much more numerous for the Celtics than they are the Bruins. Now, the Bruins could run into Washington, who, by the way, got hot late in the season. And we all know the Bruins' record against Washington. Even though they did solve Holtby finally this season, it's a different animal.
Dude, if they beat the Lightning, I just got to think that they're just going to have this effort attitude.
We slayed the dragon and have nothing left for the next series. Yeah, I mean, there's another way you can look at it.
Of
course, that's
the
way you put it, nerd. Mark, go ahead.
I think the Bruins will probably get to the third round and the Celtics won't. Last year, the Bruins, they were one-dimensional. They won the first game 6-2, and then Tampa Bay shut down the Bergeron line, and that was all she wrote after that, because they didn't score a 5-on-5 goal for the rest of the series. This year, the Bruins are more well-balanced scoring, and I think they're going to go further than the Celtics this year.
Did you see Backes? He practiced yesterday, but he was not on top three lines.
Right.
Or top four lines, I should say.
Yeah.
He was an outlier. So that should be interesting.
I just think that if the Celtics get past the Bucks, which I believe they will.
Now, apparently the latest news,
I think that's where it ends.
The latest news is Brogdon might be back for that series if the Celtics get there. Just, again, you say if instead of when. But if and when the Celtics beat Indiana and play Milwaukee, the Bucks believe Brogdon will be back for that series.
Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I know you guys were talking about the series against Toronto, and one thing I don't think a lot of people are talking about is how poor Toronto's defense is in their goaltending. Like,
terrible.
You know, they don't really have, like, a stay-at-home defenseman. You know what I mean? They love the guy Gardner, and he's, like, you know, I think extremely overrated. And then second thing is, you were talking about the second-round series. Call me crazy, but Columbus is not a bad team. Like, I think Tampa Bay is going to have a tough time against Columbus.
Well, that would be ideal. But, yeah, you're right. Toronto's defense sucks, and that's why I would be disappointed if it went over six games for the Bruins.
Yeah, Toronto over the last month has been awful. I mean, really awful. I think they've lost 11 out of 16, and we went through it with Ty Anderson here yesterday. I mean, Tavares lived up to all the expectations Toronto had for him. I think he scored 47 or 48 goals this year. And Austin Matthews is a brilliant player. But you look at especially the defense, not good at all.
So we talked about earlier how I believe that Kyrie Irving, if he ends up, it all depends on what happens in the postseason, whether or not he sticks around or whether he doesn't. How far do they have to go for him to say, all right, let's go again? See, I think that they've got to get far in the Eastern Conference Finals. Maybe even make it to the finals.
Well, that's good. That's what you want. As a player
but that's reality.
Based on one season.
I mean, but that's the reality of the free agency that we have.
Yeah, in basketball.
Yeah, in basketball, that's just the way it goes. And yeah. And to be quite honest, this is it. This is the thing that we've been dealing with all of his garbage behind the scenes and all this talk to me in the postseason, or talk to me during free agency, ask me then, blah, blah, blah. The reason we've been dealing with it is because he's been promising us that when the postseason comes around, it's going to be a completely different
ballgame. His exact words 3 or 4 weeks ago, when asked about this, he said, with confidence, we'll be ready for the playoffs. And when asked why, he said, because I won't let it happen.
Baby.
Think he will. I believe him. We've seen him in the playoffs. The dude is a monster.
I agree. We've seen it happen. He won LeBron a championship.
Yep.
I mean,
there against Milwaukee, and then he gets run over. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
I'm overwhelmed. You can eat a lot at one sitting.
95, the Sports Hub.
Oh, Kristown. Strangely enough, not another hit after this. Now, Rich, are we going to plan on having the guy from Machine?
We are. We're working on that right now behind the scenes. And that should probably happen the beginning of next week.
Did you know that's above my head?
It's above your head.
Yeah, this is I'm not at that level where I can start dealing with the guy from Machine.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean that is a Nick thing, which by the way, I'm very excited for the next several weeks, to hopefully 2 months. But you know who is going to be absolutely exhausted? That would be Mr. Nick Jamelli in the other room, because it is going to be Bruins playoff season is my favorite time of the year, because that's when you get the best drunken recaps.
Yeah.
Bruins fans during the playoffs, there's nothing like them. And of course, Nick will be out there for every Celtics and Bruins home game. Cool. Every once in a while, there might have to be a tap out where he hands the baton over to Bird, which might lead
good
for
in a different
audio
way
that we don't play.
I know a guy who managed a bar until recently around Fenway, and the complaining about the rookies just coming in there and getting loaded off 2 shots and 2 beers.
Over like the Red Sox games?
Yeah, not directly by the ballpark, but within walking distance. It's not Game On or the other one.
Well, the good news is that also we will have tickets tomorrow for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup playoffs right here in town. Which, did you hear? We're getting Doc Emmerich.
We have
a Doc Emmerich game.
I did see that. Milbury is with him.
Milbury, Doc Emmerich. So that is...
Hopefully, Roenick starts crying again so Milbury can emasculate him.
Only if the Blackhawks win.
That's right. Ann, go ahead, darling.
Well, good morning, boys.
Hi, Ann.
Hi. You know, I usually listen to the podcast. I only am able to listen for about an hour every day because I'm a high school English teacher.
All right, let me guess. You want to hear the flushing of the toilet bit again?
Well, you know, I would like to play it only out of embarrassment. You know, it'd be nice to have my students listen and think, hey, I could be like Bert someday and not be able to name any books or novels or anything. Well,
In fairness, Anne, he did mention Mickey Mouse, a fictional character.
Yeah, well, he said books of fiction.
And he said Dr. Seuss, which is, again,
my
not a book.
Yeah, my four-year-old would think that was great.
I
have more faith in your four-year-old than you.
And Bird, did you say Tom Clancy Rainbow Six?
Yes.
Isn't that a video game, or I could be wrong?
I think you're right about that.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe it is a book.
I think someone sent that message to me as well. Okay. Is that there's a chance he did not name a book.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he didn't, at least one of any merit. But the sad part is, you know, the fact that he went to college and he at least took one semester of some sort of literature class kind of blows my mind a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the best part is, you know, poor Nick here, we know that he's the pawn in the whole bit because you got to have him go against somebody, right? But Bird's the star because, you know, he's going to make such a fool of himself that that's going to be the comedy there, right? I mean, let's be real about that.
But the thing is, Nick has very little education, and he grew up in a district that's despicable, and he is no...
Marshfield?
Yes.
Just why is that despicable?
Because Nick went there. So, okay. But Bird went to Curry College, but Bird is telling Dan that there was no literature course?
No literature courses in college.
Is that a liberal arts school?
Yes, it's a four-year liberal arts school.
How the hell did you not have a literature class?
It wasn't recommended.
Was it recommended?
I didn't have to. Like, there's requirements that I had to take, but I was a communication major. I didn't need to take those.
Well, I would think literature is part of communication. Oh, jeez.
At a liberal arts school?
To be able to read and write is not a premium for a communications major.
Yes, it is. But, I don't understand the question. I didn't read.
Well, that doesn't go on.
Obviously, your communications major is shining through right now.
I have him. Hold on.
Okay. All right. Well,
he has what?
I don't know what he has. It's weird.
What did he just say?
He's going to look up the courses that he took. He's going to look them up.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, because I went to a liberal arts school, and you're required to take everything.
Yes.
That's hence liberal arts. Now, your degree does nothing for you. And I would encourage
you don't know that until you spent the money.
Yeah, I would encourage no one to do it.
All I know is that we got a lot of people talking to us about our bit yesterday, Game of Thrones, which we knew before we aired it that it had a high potential for failure. And I can't read whether or not it's something that we want to put back out into the light of day because a lot of people said they wanted to hear it, maybe because they wanted to hear a failure, or something we should just bury forever and never speak of again.
I say put it back out in the light of day.
No, see, I say bury it.
Because there has been more people talking about that bit than many bits we've done in a long time.
Because if you play it again, it means that we think it's good.
That's a decent point.
Yeah, it like loses the magic of saying that we're aware. Because I got, like, emails that it sucked, and I'm like, yeah.
We kind of called it before it started. I think we all knew. That was a bit that we came up with where we're just completely loopy and tired, and somehow, sometimes, one of those becomes reality. And I don't know why it is. Maybe it's just like, all right, this is so dumb, we're never going to go through with it. And then you find your hands recording things, and then you see yourself delegating responsibilities, and next thing you know, you're on the air doing it. And that was one of those situations. And
no, I think that the way you get away with a bit like that is you lay the cards on the table and you say, I know this isn't any good. And then in itself being, you know, people are in on the joke, and then it passes itself off as a bit that you should have done.
Game of Thrones.
I got emails like, hey, you're hacks, and you become a hacky morning zoo. Yeah.
And then people are like, I heard it sucked. I want to hear it.
Yep.
That was a lot of, there was a lot of that. I heard it was the worst. I need to hear this.
Yeah, well, we've done far worse. We knew that, listen, people are thrilled with Game of Thrones. Some people call toilets thrones.
Someone said it made me laugh, and 24 hours later, I still can't figure out why.
Well, that's the idea.
Someone said, I went to Curry as a business management major, graduated in 2009. I had to take a literature course.
Is it a liberal arts school or not? Does he even know? What? All right. Someone
and nurse. It's liberal arts and nursing.
All right. Someone. Well, you can't have both. A nursing degree is 2 years, right?
I think there are 4-year nursing degrees.
All right. Will someone please figure out if that's a liberal arts school? Because I'm guessing it's not. And the idea that he graduated from a school that he doesn't know is liberal arts is a little concerning.
But you do have the list of courses that you had to take? That I want to hear.
All right. All right. We'll be back. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.